Good evening. So, welcome to our brand new Shulchan Aruch Habura. So, just to give you an idea as to the way this is going to be structured, really just a short Habura. It might, depending on how the halachos turn out, it might end up recording a couple of additional sessions that'll be online. But really, the goal of this is just to go through Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to do every halacha be'in. We're not going to do a lot of background on every halacha. Really just to give us a working knowledge and appreciation of the halachas. Figured this is a wonderful time of year because now if we start with Hilchos Chanukah, we could actually finish Hilchos Chanukah and Yerzah Hashem, you know, leading up to Yom Tov, hopefully. And then hopefully with Hilchos Megillah, Hilchos Pesach, there's no way we'll finish before Pesach, but at least maybe we'll get through some of the, you know, relevant topics in Hilchos Pesach, which could be very interesting. But again, really the goal is just to give us a basic familiarity with halacha. So, you know, as opposed to Rabbi Richter's shir, Rabbi Richter gives a beautiful Hilchos Shabbos shir on Tuesday night, where he really goes very much beyond, very much in depth, already starting from the Gemara, the Rishonim, Achronim, Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, contemporary halachas, which is beautiful. Here we're going to go much more halacha bekiyus, really much more of an aerial view of the halachas, obviously focusing on the halacha lemaisa, but not really focusing as much on so much of the background. So with that, let's begin. Siman Tov Reish Ayin Hilchos Chanukah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskin is as follows. Dvarim ha'asur ma'am Torah lechanukah. So again, the topic of this simon are the things that are permitted and prohibited during Chanukah. And of course, feel free to ask questions over the course of these halachas as well. So again, b'chafei b'kislev maschilin chesimei Chanukah. 25th of Kislev, the 8 days of Chanukah begin. Vasun behespid the tainus. One is not permitted to go and deliver a eulogy, nor is one permitted to fast over these days. Aval mutarin ba'asiyas melacha. But one is permitted to go out and do malacha over the course of Yom Tov. So as opposed to other Yom Tovim, where there's an Isra malacha, even on Purim, where there is a concept of an Isra malacha, at least there's a minog, I should say, not to do malacha on Purim, not to do work. On Chanukah, no such minog exists. In fact, we're going to see some strong lashon to the contrary. Or we're going to see some strong halacha that highlights this point. So therefore, you're permitted to do malacha. However, the Shulchan Aruch holds something very interesting. V'noagos hanoshim shelo la'asos malacha ba'ot shaneros dokos. However, again, there's an interesting custom amongst the women not to do malacha when the candles are burning. Fascinating idea. Women don't do malacha when the candles are burning. So, v'yesh mi she'omer shein lahakya lahem. So now, you have to be careful how you read this phrase. V'yesh mi she'omer shein lahakya lahem doesn't mean, and there are those who say that we shouldn't be lenient on them, that we should force them to work. What it means is, v'yesh mi she'omer shein lahakel alayin means that one should not be makel and allow them to do work during the time of Hadlakas Neros. So this is a fascinating halacha. So Shulchan Aruch is telling me that on one hand, again, 8 days of Chanukah, no eulogies, no fasting, but you're permitted to do malacha. Except for the interesting and apparently very strong, well-rooted minog, that women don't do malacha dafka when the candles are burning. So where does this come from? So first of all, I'm going to tell you things that we're not going to do inside, but you'll see it on your own and outside. In Sif Aleph, in Mishnah Berurah, again, and we're not always going to do Mishnah Berurah, but you know, if you want to bring a I'll always bring copies, but if you want to bring a Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Vav, that's where we're going to be operating, but we're not going to do every single Mishnah Berurah. So in Sif Aleph, you'll just look at this on your own, the Mishnah Berurah gives the historical background to Chanukah. I'm assuming we're all familiar with the story, so we don't have to spend too much time on that. If you skip to Sif Dalid in the Mishnah Berurah, so this is in the bottom, if you're looking on the Xerox copy sheets, it's on the right-hand side, the right-hand column, bottom line. So here the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on the Minog, for women not to do malacha while the candles are lit. His ba'ochan eros dokos bebeso, kidei lahakir sh'asra l'shtamish lo'ora, v'hu kichatzi sh'ah. So first of all, go back up to Gimel, Hanoshim. So first of all, where does this come from, that there's a minhag for the women not to do malacha, but the men do malacha when the candles are lit? Well, why this distinction? So the Mishnah Berurah says, dafka noshim, I mean Sif Gimel, v'fi shena'asen neis al yideihem, so we're going to see this in the next sif, in the next halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's this concept that the miracle of Chanukah was brought about by women. Again, we'll see that in a little bit more greater specificity in just a moment. But because the miracle was brought about by them, therefore, again, therefore the Shulchan Aruch holds the minog, Women don't do malacha while the candles are burning. Now, it's interesting, Mishnah Berurah says, V'yesh makomos shegam ha'anoshim machmirim bozeh. So, interestingly enough, there are places where the men are machmir on this as well. Everyone, their sheets right over here. There are places where the men are machmir not to do malacha also. Okay, so we'll get into that as well. But, so skip a little bit to Sif Hey in the Mishnah Berurah, Shein Lahakil Mahem. So if you skip down a little bit in that halacha, the Kasa B'Shiltei Giborim, it's the underlined lines in the Sif Hey of the Mishnah Berurah, the Kasa B'Shiltei Giborim, V'chein Hiskim B'Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, Shebemokum Shenagu Isser Mila'asos Melachachom. Now this is fascinating. So just, you have to appreciate, obviously, I'm not doing the halachic process justice, but it's okay, that's what you signed up for. You signed up for halacha b'kiyus, not halacha v'yin, so that's what we're doing. So obviously there's a lot of pieces that I'm not sharing with you, but just I want to point out the following. Shulchan Aruch is explicit. There's no iser asiyas malacha. There's no prohibition on malacha in Chanukah. There's a minog for what? Minog for what? For women not to do malacha. When? When the candles are lit. Mishnah Berurah told me, oh, and by the way, maybe again by men also a little bit. Behind their sheets are right over here. Maybe by men also some of them enough to do it as well. Now, watch what happens over here. So the Shiltei Giborim quotes in the name of the Chacham Tzvi. Shebemakom shenagu isur milasos melacha kol hayom. So this is amazing. This is wild. So apparently, there were communities where the minhag developed not to do melacha on the entire day of Chanukah. Okay, now how you got there, where you got there. Again, the truth is, you could see how you could get there relatively easily. How can you get there relatively easily? What's Hanukkah's sister Yom Tov? Purim. So as we said before, again, by Purim, the halacha does say that if possible, that one doesn't have to do malacha, one doesn't do malacha. Again, when we say malacha, by the way, we don't mean malacha necessarily in the form of like Hilchos Shabbos. We mean going to work, we mean exertion, we mean things that are just exertion type items. So what's amazing over here is apparently there are those who had the minog not to work the entire day of Chanukah. So comes along the Shiltei Giborim, the Chacham Tzvi, and they say, excuse me, Yesh Limchos Biyadam. One should strenuously object to such a practice. Why? Ki habatala averahi. Listen to this. Because batala, inactivity, is an avera. Umevi lide shi'amum, and it leads to insanity, because inactivity is an avera, and it leads to insanity. What's the avera of inactivity? What avera is inactivity? What would you say? So the truth is, it's not inactivity that's the avera, but it's rather what we know. The clinical tests have shown that people who have too much time in their hands have a tendency to get themselves into trouble. So it's not that batala, it's not that inactivity is the avera, it's that chances are if you are inactive, you are going to get yourself in trouble. So this is amazing. So what we see over here, what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us is, don't be machmir on the Isser Melacha by Chanukah, right? The longest duration of the Isser Melacha on Chanukah is when the Neros are burning, and even then it may dafka be a din for the women, not a din for the men. Good, that's Halacha Aleph. I'm sorry? So Shabbos Yom Tov is different. Shabbos Yom Tov does, Chach Baruch Hu tells us, to be batal. What Mishnah Berurah is saying is, don't be batal any more than God tells you to be batal. Right? Don't, there's no more Isser Melacha. Adam la'amal yulad. Man was born to work. Man was born to be active. The only times we're inactive is when they are divinely prescribed, or rabbinically prescribed. But if Chazal aren't telling you to be inactive, Chach Baruch Hu is not telling you to be inactive, don't be inactive. Halacha Beis, back up top to the Shulchan Aruch. Ribuya Seudos. Shemar ben Bohemim Suda Sarashos. Another interesting halacha. There is no obligation of a celebratory meal on Chanukah. So therefore, again, if you want to have Seudos, they're what we call Seudos Rishos. They're optional Seudos. Shelo Kavum L'Mishteh V'Simcha. Because ultimately, again, the Yom Tov of Chanukah was not established for Mishteh and Simcha. And here's something amazing. Because normally we say, again, as I just mentioned before, we normally group together Chanukah and Purim. The reason we group them together generally is why? Why? Because they're both rabbinic yamim tovim. But the truth is, what the Shulchan Aruch is now highlighting is, they are really dramatically different. There are sheets right over here. They really are dramatically different, one from the other. How are they different? I'm at the front of the class. Oh, where are you going? You're going to the side. Okay. So listen to this. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you look at Siv Vav, So look what he says. This is amazing. So this is in the Mishnah Berurah, left-hand column. I should have numbered the sheets. I apologize. But it's the first page in your handout. Left-hand column, Sivvav. Shalom kavam mishnah v'simcha. Now watch this. Ela lahalav ulahodos. So I will say, remember again, the Yom Tov of Chanukah has no obligation of physical celebration. The Yom Tov of Chanukah has an obligation of lahalal ulahodos, which means that there is an obligation to recite halal, right? This halal and hodah, which means that we insert alanisin bimei matisyo in modem of shmona esrei. But there is no obligation of physical celebration, no obligation to have a suda. Why? So this is the famous Mishnah Berurah. He says v'nira hatam. So in Mishnah Berurah, left-hand column, Sif Vav in the Mishnah Berurah. V'nir ha-tam, de'lo kavu kama simcha kimo Purim, that ultimately there is no mitzvah of physical celebration on Chanukah like there is on Purim. Ki be'Purim haya gzir la-hashmid u'la-harug es ha-gufos. Shubital mishtev simcha v'lo as-hanafashos, shafilu himiru datom chas v'chalila, lo-hayu mekabal osam. L'kach kishet zilem ha-kadosh baruch hu mimenu, kavu lo-halalo u'le-shabcho yisbarach, Gamkin ayidei mishtev simcha. So remember again, the Mishnah Berurah highlights a very important yisod. The nature of the threat of Purim was what? Physical annihilation. Haman was not interested in converting the Jews. Haman was not interested in assimilating the Jews. Haman was interested in one thing and one thing only, and that was complete and utter annihilation. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, something amazing. Therefore, the celebration of any Yom Tov reflects, we'll call the threat or the tension of that day. So the threat of Purim was physical annihilation. Therefore, the celebration of Purim is what? Is what? Is physical celebration. Mishta v'simcha. Purim, of course, is unique because it's not just mishta v'simcha, but it's exaggerated mishta v'simcha, right? It's even drunk in this. So, again, different discussion. Chanukah, on the other hand, says the Mishnah Berurah, was not a threat of physical annihilation. What did the Syrian Greeks want to do to the Jews? What do they want to do? Assimilation. As such, there's a spiritual threat. Because there's a spiritual threat, therefore what? There is a spiritual celebration. So we'll say this is actually really quite fascinating. The celebration of any Yom Tov really, it parallels the nes element of the Yom Tov. Purim, there is a threat of physical annihilation, therefore physical celebration. Chanukah, no threat of physical annihilation. The Syrians would have been more than happy if we had just assimilated. Therefore, there's a spiritual threat, therefore spiritual celebration. Therefore, back up top to the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, Riboy Hasudo Shemar Ben Bahem Sudas Rishos. Therefore, if you choose to have a Suda on Purim, excuse me, on Chanukah, that's fine, but it is not obligatory. It's a rishus. Why? Shelo kavum mishta v'simcha. Because Chazal did not make Chanukah, did not mark Chanukah as days of mishta and simcha. V'yesh omrim, say now the Ramah comes along and he says, Sheyesh kitzas mitzvah b'riboy ha-su'udos. So the Ramah comes along and says, no, I think that this lashon over here is also very interesting. Sheyesh kitzas mitzvah. What does yesh kitzas mitzvah mean? It's like a shtick mitzvah. You know, there's like a little... What does that mean? There is an mitzvah, there's not a mitzvah. So what the Ramah is saying over here is, even though there is not the halachic obligation to have a su'udah on these days, but it would not be foreign to have a su'udah on these days. Why? Because now the Ramah highlights something amazing. Deba'osa, mishum deba'osa yamim. Turn the page. Mishum deba'osa yamim, haya chanukas hamizbeach. Because I want to say something else amazing happened during these days, which was what? These days of Chanukah, the 25th of Kislev, right, were the days of the inauguration of the Mizbeach. It is when the Nesim all brought their own sacrifices to inaugurate the use of the Mizbeach, and therefore these days were Yamim Tovim even before the Nes of Chanukah. So what's amazing here, says the Ramah, is as follows, that even if you say Halacha Lamaisa, there is no obligation of Su'udah al Chanukah, there is a Kitzas Mitzvah. There's an Inyan to have some type of celebratory Su'udah over the course of Chanukah, but interestingly enough, not because of the Chanukah miracle, but rather because of events that preceded the Chanukah miracle by multiple generations, namely the inauguration of the Mizbeach. Well, remember again, which inauguration of the Mizbeach is this talking about? This is the Mishkan. This is the Mishkan. Good. Therefore, v'noagin lomar zmiros is shesbachos besudos shemar ben bahem v'az havi sudas mitzvah. You know, I will say, you know, there's in the beautiful part in Yiddishkeit is there's always, you know, our mantra is like a siba le misiba. You know, there's always a reason to have a suda. There's always a reason to fibring about something. So he says over here, you know, by the way, even if there's not an obligation to go and have a suda on Chanukah, first of all, there's a ketzas mitzvah because of the Chanukah samizbeach, and there's a simple way to transform any meal into a sudas mitzvah. How do you transform any meal into a sudas mitzvah? Zmiros v'sishbachos. Sing some zmiros, sing some songs, say some divrei Torah, make a siyum, and poof, you have a sudas mitzvah. So therefore you see again this interesting halacha. So the mechaber, and again, I don't know by the svardim, maybe dafka they don't have sudos, you know, I don't know. But again, the Mechaber clearly is saying there's no din of Suda. The Rama is saying there's Ktsas Mitzvah, and they're telling us you could transform any Suda into a Suda's Mitzvah. Yesh Omrim. Now, we'll say, here we come to something very interesting. Yesh Omrim, Shiesh Lachol Gvina B'Chanukah. There are some who say that there's a custom to eat, a minhag to eat milchiks. It's a minhag. It's a minhag. You don't have to, right? Right, guys? Right. So, like, there's a minhag to eat milchiks on Chanukah. I'm sorry? A Ktsas Mitzvah. This is a minhag, right? This isn't even a ktsas mitzvah, right? Correct. For the carnivores, this isn't even a ktsas. This is just a minhag. But a fascinating minhag nevertheless. L'fi shahanes na'aseh b'chalav. Because the miracle of Chanukah occurred with milchiks. What miracle of Chanukah occurred with milchiks? I want to point something out. Let me read the rest. She'achila Yehudis asa'oyev. Because Yehudis, this woman called Yehudis, we'll discuss in just a moment, she gave milchiks to the enemy. I want to point out something very important over here. The only story of Chanukah that we have in the Gemara is which story? It's the story of the Pach Shemen. It's the story of the oil. We don't have any other story about the oppression of the Syrian Greeks or anything that happened before that. We know there was a war. We know that there were edicts, there were decrees, but we don't know anything about the Chanukah story until we get to the miracle of the Pach Shemen. That's the story. There is a whole body called Medrash Chanukah. It includes, you know, Megillas Maccabim, Megillas Antiochus. They're incredible Midrashim. All about the, maybe as we get closer to the Antiv, we'll learn some of them. It's amazing. It's amazing. I have a big safer called Medrash Chanukah that somebody got for me a couple of years ago. It has everything in it. And I try to go through it over the course of Chanukah. The stories are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. So here he happens to be quoting from Medrash Chanukah over here. What happened with Yehudis and the Oyev? Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud. Who is Yehudis? He Haisa Bito Shal Yochanan Kohen Gadol. She was the daughter of Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. V'hayse gzeira shekol arusa tibar letafser tchila. Now, one of the edicts that the Romans leveled upon the Jewish people was they said that any time a Jewish woman would get married, she would have to spend her wedding night with the Roman governor first. Right, the local Greek governor, excuse me. And then only after she was with the Greek governor, could she go back to her husband. So I'm going to tell you the backstory to this, because the backstory is actually dramatically amazing. The backstory is that Yochanan Kohen Gadol is marrying off his wife, marrying off his daughter Yehudis. Who is she marrying? She happens to be marrying a man by the name of Yehuda HaMakabi. Right? Now, the Medrash already calls him Yehuda HaMakabi. There were two prominent Kohanic families marrying into each other. So amazingly enough, what happens? She's at the wedding, and everybody's celebrating. This is Mamish the Medrash. She claps her hands, gets everyone's attention. She tears her dress and exposes herself. Everyone is livid. The Gidoli Hadar are at this chasana. Never learned this in school, right? Everybody's livid. Everyone's livid, right? Ultimately, again, the chasan is mamish going out of his mind. The brothers of the chasan are ready to kill this girl. Crazy. And she says to them, she gives them a musar shmus. And she says, what a chutzpah you have. You're all celebrating. You're all having a great time. It's the fifth time you went to the smorgasbord already. And do you know where I'm going tonight? You're all celebrating, and I have to spend my wedding night with the local Greek governor. What a chutzpah. And that is where the Maccabee revolt was born. The Medrash says the revolt was born at the wedding of Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. She was the one who started the rebellion. She was the one who said, why are we taking this? Why are we accepting the status quo? Why are we just allowing this to happen to our daughters? Why are we allowing this to go on? She gave them Musar, and she created the... Now, she was the first cogwheel of the revolution. Because what happened? She went that night to the local governor. I forgot, the Medrash says his name. I don't remember his name. And she gave him milk. She gave him milchiks to eat. He fell asleep. She chopped off his head. It's very reminiscent of which story? Of Ya'el and Sisera, right? It's very reminiscent of... And again, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the authenticity of Midrashi Chanukah. So part of it is because a lot of the stories you find in Midrashi Chanukah seem to be reminiscent of other Midrashic stories. Well, Ya'el is not a Midrashic story, it's a Navi story. But again, in any event, it seems to be that she borrowed a play from Ya'el's playbook, and she gave him milk to drink, this Greek governor, chopped off his head, brought the head out. The Maccabim were waiting outside the walls, and that sparked the rebellion. Therefore, says Rabbi something amazing. Yeshomim, sheish lechol gvino. There's a concept of eating milchiks on Chanukah, lefish shanis naase b'chalav. Now, this is amazing also, because the miracle occurred with milk. The miracle occurred with milk. What does that mean? The miracle of Chanukah, we assume was what? Was the pach shemen. But what's amazing over here is, the beginning of the Chanukah salvation began with this young woman, Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. She gave this guy, this Greek governor, milchiks, chopped off his head, and that was the beginning of the miracle. So therefore, again, that's the, if you notice, by the way, he doesn't even use the lashon of minog. He doesn't say yesh omrim minog. He just says yesh omrim sheyesh le'achol chanuk megivina b'chanuka. So we'll say, so again, you want to eat milchiks, eat milchiks. You don't want to eat milchiks, don't have to eat milchiks. But again, it's fascinating because definitely milchiks has its place on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Beautiful. Halacha Gimel. Ein maspidin, top of the Shulchan Aruch again. Ein maspidin ela bahem ela chacham befonav. But I'll say the halacha is that, remember again, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph said, we do not deliver eulogies on Rosh Hashanah, on Chanukah. So now the Mechaber says, Shulchan Aruch says there's an exception, which is Maspidin L'Chacham B'Fanav. If a Talmud Chacham passes away, you're permitted to deliver a eulogy if the body is there. If you're in the presence of the mace, you're permitted to deliver the eulogy. Hagah, ve'in mis'anin b'yom shemes bo'av o'eim v'taynis chalom b'chanukah. Furthermore, again, some have the custom on the yard site to fast. On the yard site of a parent to fast. If a child has yard site for a parent on Chanukah, we do not fast on Chanukah. We don't fast on Chanukah. Tainus Cholam, person has a bad dream. And again, they would fast. We don't do a Tainus Cholam on Chanukah. Well, the Ian Tzidu Kadin, finally, does that Tzidu Kadin. Good about say, that finishes off that particular Simon. So I'll just show you something interesting. At the end of Sif Yud Beis in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah just says something very interesting. He says, Onein Patre Miner Chanukah. It will say, just the side halacha. The Mishnah Berurah is only bringing this up because he brought up Hesped and he brought up fasting on a yard site. Let's say someone's an Onein on Chanukah. What's an Onein? Onein means a person lost one of the relatives who they have to sit Shiva for. So remember, at this point in time, this is the period between death and burial. An Onein is generally exempt from all positive mitzvahs, which means that an Onein would not light Ner Chanukah. He's just the same way that an Onein doesn't go ahead and what? Put on tefillin and make brachas. Now, what's interesting over here, V'kasev Eliyahu Rabba, D'ishto Tadlik, fine, if he has a wife, his wife will go ahead and light. Vim hu muter lanos amin yishteo suposkim, venira di'im ein ishto imo v'hu yichidi babayis, yadlik haneros de persume nisu b'lo bracha. So we'll say, you're going to hold on to this halacha until next week's shir, because this is actually amazing. The halacha is about to say that if the onein, let's say either his wife is not home, or maybe he's not married, it's just him alone. So what's the halacha? An onein will light ner Chanukah. Now, I will say, this halachically is ground shaking. Why? Because during the halach is an onein is potter from all mitzvos. The notion that an onein would be chayiv in ner Chanukah, right, and would light it if his wife is not there, I'm giving it to you now because the Mishnah Berurah quotes it over here, but I'll come back to it later. Good. Let's begin Simon Taf Reish Ayin Aleph. Next Simon. Halacha Aleph. Tzorich li Zohar. Ma'od ba'lachas ner Chanukah. The Bible says a person has to be very careful to fulfill the mitzvah of Neras Chanukah. Va'afilu ani ha'misparnes min ha'tzedakah, and even if someone is so poor that they are being supported ultimately again from tzedakah, from charity, shoel o mocher ksuso, you even have to sell the shirt off your back, v'lokeach shemen lahatlik, and you purchase oil with which to go ahead and light the Chanukah. Now, listen, I want to point out, this is not hyperbole. This is the halacha. Actually, the Mechaber here is just quoting verbatim the Rambam. Literally, again, mocher ksuso, even if you have to go ahead, and halacha l'maisa, sell the shirt off your back, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now, both say, now why is Ner Chanukah different? In other words, this halacha doesn't apply by lulav and esrog. I don't have a lulav and esrog. Do I have to sell the shirt off my back to get a lulav and esrog? No, I don't have tefillin. Do I have to sell the shirt off my back to get tefillin? No. What's different about Ner Chanukah? So both say, so remember again, the Ber Halacha points this out as well. The actually Rav Nevenzal has a piece about this as well, which is there are only two mitzvos you have to do this for: Ner Chanukah and Dalet Kozos, right? The four cups by the Pesach Seder. And the common denominator between those two things are Pesumei Nisa. Wherever there is an element of publicity associated with mitzvah performance, the halacha is you have to do whatever is within your power to fulfill the mitzvah. So even if halacha lemaisa, again, you have no money to your name, you have to sell the shirt off your back in order to go ahead and halacha lemaisa be able to purchase Ner Chanukah. So he goes on. Look at the next halacha. Beis. Kamineros madlik. So we'll just do probably just this last halacha. Kamineros madlik. How many candles do you light? Now, both saying that here, we'll start this halacha this week, but now we're really getting into Hilchos Chanukah. So now we begin to get into, listen to this. Kamineros madlik. How many candles do you have to light? Balayla harishon madlik echad. Mikan ve'elich mosif v'holich echad b'chol layla. So, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you begin with one candle on the first night, and what? You add on one candle each additional light. Ad shebelel ha'achron, until by the time you get to the last night, what do you have? Shmona, you have eight. Va'afilu imrabim b'nei habayis, even if there are many people in the household, lo yadliku yoser. Rabbosai, this is the Mechaber Shita. The Mechaber holds, Rav Yossi Karo holds, one menorah per household. One menorah per household. You don't have everybody like that. One menorah per household. No matter how many people you have in the household, one menorah. And what do we call the mitzvah, the mahadrin, is that you add on one candle every single night. So according to the Mechaber, the best way to perform this mitzvah, one additional candle every night, but one menorah per household. Quickly look at the Ramah, the Yesh Omrim, the Chol Echab Mibnei Habayis, Yadlik. So ultimately, now here, so interestingly enough, the Ramah quotes over here, also from the Rambam, that some say every member of the household should light. Now, both say, what the Machlokis Mechaber and the Ramah over here is really a Machlokis in the Gemara about what is the definition of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. What is the most Lechatchila Dikaway to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? So the Mechaber goes with the opinion that Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin means you add on one candle every single night, but still only one menorah per household. The Ramah says, every single person in the house, we'll see who this includes, but every person in the household lights their own menorah, adding on one candle each additional night, v'china minaga pashet. And ultimately, again, says the Ramah, this is the minaga pashet. This is what we, at least Ashkenazic Jews, do. Mahajim and mahajim means everyone in the household lights their own menorah, adding on one candle each and every night. And I'll say with this, we'll end. V'yizaru litein kol echad ve'echad neirosa b'makom yuchad. Now, I'll say, this is actually very important that sometimes is a little bit ignored, which is that halacha l'maisa, if you are going to go ahead and have multiple people lighting, you have to make sure that all the menorahs are spaced appropriately, right? In order, k'dei sheyehe heker, kama neros madlikin. See, the Rebbe said the goal is, especially for us that we light inside, the goal is that when somebody's passing by outside, they should be able to see what night of Chanukah it is. So the problem is, if the menorahs are too close to each other, then what ends up happening? What ends up happening is it looks like one luminescent blur, and it's not clear what night it is. So if you're going to Paskin like the Ramah, and say Mahajim and a Mahajim means everyone's going to light their own menorah, and they're going to add on an additional light each and every night, just make sure to keep the menorahs properly spaced so that each menorah stands on its own, and the passerby would be able to see by looking at any one menorah which particular night it is. Well, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Sif Gimel next week in Meretz Hashem. Shkoyach.